This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by the Zona Plus, an effective non-drug treatment for high blood pressure. It's a safe, easy way to lower your blood pressure naturally, and it's so effective it works for 9 in 10 people. The Zona Plus is a high-tech smart device that guides you through a patented therapy that's personalized to your unique physiology. To find out more, go to tryzona.com or call toll-free 888-408-6141. As a listener to Intelligent Medicine, you can get $50 off and free shipping. Just use the coupon code Hoffman at checkout at tryzona.com. Welcome to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. And once again, we find ourselves at the time of the week where we do our weekly Q&A with Layla. Time flies because, hey, it's Memorial Day, summer's coming up.
Summer's coming. And I don't want it to go by so quickly as it does invariably every year. Oh, my.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Savor the summer. It's about to begin. Before we get to questions, as we usually do, by the way you get questions to us is via radio program at AOL.com. Radio program at AOL.com. Before we get to questions, I'd like to share with you, well, I'm going to do a little pop quiz with you. I have in front of me the New England Journal of Medicine for May 18th, 2018. And, you know, it's got a lot of obscure articles like mepolizumab or placebo for eosinophilic granulomatosis with polyangiitis.
Oh, my.
That's a mouthful. I can't even pronounce some of those words.
And nibs and nabs.
Yeah, and so this is an example of a highly technical journal. But news you can use in this week's New England Journal of Medicine. Aerobic or resistance exercise are both in dieting obese older adults. Okay? So, I'm going to, unless you've seen the summary of this article, I'm going to put the question to you.
I haven't.
Four experimental groups. One was a control group where they just had them attend health classes and nothing. They had no exercise and they didn't put them on a diet. They just said, here's, you know,
here's some education.
Here's some education, healthy foods. Another group was put on a diet plus aerobic exercise, only aerobic exercise. Mm-hmm. By the way, just step back. The subjects were older individuals who were overweight, and the background on that is that older individuals who are overweight actually may be suffering from what's called sarcopenia. They may actually be overweight, put too much fat, not enough muscle.
Yes.
As you age, the muscle turns to fat, and so that's something that they wanted to stave off. So, okay, so first they had the control group, didn't, you know, sat and listened to, you know, read basically articles about health. Second group, aerobic exercise plus a calorie-restricted diet.
Okay.
Third group, strength training, but no aerobic exercise.
Okay.
Fourth group, a combination of strength training plus resistance.
Strength training and aerobic.
Strength training plus, exactly, plus aerobic. Mm-hmm. Exactly. So strength, of course, is the same as resistance. So which group had the best outcome?
Were the last two groups put on diets as well?
Yes, all put on diets.
All put on low-calorie
except
diets,
for
except for the first
group.
The first group, which was...
Okay, I'll tell you right away. The control group lost no weight whatsoever. Reading reading books about healthy eating doesn't make you lose weight. Okay? Surprise, surprise. What happened to the rest of them?
I would think the combination did best.
Good answer. But
I might say a runner-up is the strength training group.
Yeah. What's interesting is they all lost about the same amount of weight.
Okay.
But... in the aerobic group, they lost weight, but they also lost muscle mass.
Yes.
And in the group that did aerobic plus strength, they preserved muscle mass.
Great.
Okay?
Because on a low-calorie diet, you're going to lose both.
Right.
And that's a problem.
So the best results, you know, from a cardiovascular conditioning standpoint and a, you know, muscle retention standpoint and a reduction in the fat-to-lean ratio was seen in the combo group.
Okay. Interesting.
Okay.
Interesting.
And they go into great detail about this, but, you know, what does it take? It took 3 days a week. These were long sessions of, I think it was like 90 minutes of exercise for these people, so it's a lot. Not that many people can sustain that on their own. They need, you know, structure and supervision. This is part of a scientific study and experiment.
Yeah.
But in a relatively short time, let me see what the article says, how long it took, they managed to lose the requisite weight.
Which
by the way,
great.
My voice sounds a little weird. It's because I just got back from Belgium. Two plane flights, and I was at a wedding where they played very loud techno music. You know, Euro
oh,
techno.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Like, that's you know, fun.
And it was very
did
loud.
Did you dance?
And I did a little bit. But I also did a lot of yelling over the music, and I lost my
and
voice.
And you lost your voice.
Yeah. So how long was this for? This was for 6 months.
Oh, my.
Okay.
Good. Okay.
So
6 months is a good amount of time for a study.
Yeah, and they lost equal amounts of weight.
Okay.
But you know, there's losing weight, there's losing weight. There's like a better way to lose weight where you don't lose lean body mass.
Exactly. It's so important to keep your lean body mass because that's the metabolically active mass that torches calories. That's why it's that, it's almost like a little bit of a cosmic joke. It's unfair that when we lose weight, now at the reduced weight, we need less calories to sustain ourselves. It's almost wrong. But if you do strength training and you maintain that very important lean body mass, that metabolically active calorie eating mass, that way you're able to actually eat a fair amount of food. And
so in 6 months, they lost 9% of their weight, which is pretty
good.
Wow. That's good. Yeah. You know, like, let's say you weigh, 200 pounds. So you'd lose 18 pounds.
Yeah.
That'd
be
good.
Pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
And losing that much weight is great for lowering blood pressure.
We just saw a patient today who lost 27 pounds in the last year with us.
Yes. Yes, she did.
She did very nicely.
Mm-hmm. She's doing very nicely.
Yeah. And when she came, she was like very depressed and anxious. She says her mood is much better.
Yeah.
It had an impact on her psyche, without taking, psychoactive drugs.
Right. And she's doing both aerobic and strength training. So she's going to the gym.
She even brought her staff a plate of fruit.
Yeah. Ah.
Right.
Nice.
Yeah, it was nice.
All right.
Which I had some for lunch today.
Mm.
Okay. Moving right along.
Two
questions, because we do want to address your questions.
Yes. Yes. We actually have a very interesting comment from Dallas. Dallas emailed, Dear Dr. Hoffman, I'm an avid listener, seldom miss a show. I have learned so much from you. I just read your article in the newsletter, Intelligent Medicine, 18 allergy-busting supplements you should take and 10 you need to avoid to survive this allergy season. She did all that and she started feeling...
Ten things you need to avoid, not supplements to avoid.
Oh, sorry. Right. And 10 things you need to avoid to survive this allergy season.
Right.
Thank you. So she did all that and she avoided the things needed to be avoided. And then she came home and she was starving and whipped up some zucchini. Mm-hmm. And then her allergies came back with a vengeance.
Right.
And she realized she had some cross-reactivity with certain foods, mm-hmm. particularly related to this family, squash, melon, zucchini.
Do you grow your own garden? Have you ever done that?
Not yet, but we're going to have a garden soon.
You aspire to.
Well, absolutely.
I did it. Mm-hmm. I don't know how I did it with all the things I did, but I rototilled the soil and I planted the seeds. And I'm going to eventually do it again.
Mm-hmm.
But squash and watermelon and pumpkin mm-hmm. are in the weed family. They actually are relatives of weed. So if you have ragweed or weed allergy,
you
might cross-react.
Right, chamomile and cantaloupe as well
mm-hmm.
with ragweed, short ragweed. Right. Or very, very interesting. And, I believe that it's pretty common in people who do have hay fever allergies, spring and fall or anything like that, that they may become a little more reactive.
To the foods
during the season.
What I notice more is in spring, mm-hmm. People react to tree fruit.
Mm.
They're allergic to trees.
Trees, yeah. Which
they
is
react
May.
To tree fruit.
Yeah. And right. June is grass.
Yeah, a lot of pollen in the air. But their allergies pick up. And it's ameliorated by cooking the mm-hmm. fruit, like Applesauce, not so much, but raw apples, maybe.
Yes.
Pitted fruit is more of a problem.
Pitted fruit is more of a problem. So
peaches and whatnot.
Yeah. Dallas has been avoiding these particular foods, and she's allergy free, and it's peak season again. So
great.
Yeah, she's doing much better.
Well, nice to hear.
Thank you, Dallas.
Okay.
All right. We have an email from Don. I'm currently taking a time-release vitamin C capsule, as I think the delivery will stay in the bloodstream longer. Would ascorbyl palmitate be even better at supplying a continuous level of C to the cells? Would this fat-soluble C be better to supply?
So before, I know you did a little research on this.
Yeah.
Let me just say that C is something that goes up very quickly and goes down very quickly. So
yeah.
it makes sense possibly to use a time release. Although the problem with time release is that people have different digestive tracts. So what is designed to be time release for one person might not even be properly digested by another and might clink into the toilet.
Right.
Somebody with weak digestion.
Yeah.
So this is the problem with all time release supplements and all time release medications.
Right.
People break things down at different rates. A better suggestion, in my opinion, is to, and you can talk about the palmitate,
yeah.
that's another story, is to, opt for a more economical form of vitamin C and take it more frequently, like three or four times a day,
yes.
through the day.
Yes, like a 500 milligram each
yep.
time, or if you have a cold or something, 1,000 milligram. The body, even there's better bowel tolerance while you have a cold or something like that.
It seems so, yes.
Yeah. So to answer Don's question, the ascorbyl palmitate is actually used more as an antioxidant food additive to keep foods fresher. And in looking at the at Linus Pauling Institute, what they found is that the fat-soluble antioxidant is used to increase the shelf life of vegetable oils, potato chips. Don't make a habit of eating too many potato chips.
In other words, things that have an oily constituent because
yeah.
it's fat-soluble, it gets into the fat.
Right. So when incorporated into the cell membranes of human red blood cells, ascorbyl palmitate has been found to protect them from oxidative damage. But this research has really only been done in the test tube.
Right.
Taking it orally doesn't help because then the ascorbic acid in the palmitate is actually cleaved.
They're dissociated.
It's hydrolyzed.
Yeah, okay.
So not bringing you that. However, the ascorbyl palmitate...
you'll get ascorbic acid and palmitic acid.
And palmitic acid, exactly. But it can be helpful in the supplement itself to keep it from possibly oxidizing, but more it's used in the food. Yeah, as a preservative in the food industry.
So I have to say, I never jumped on the bandwagon of ascorbyl palmitate.
Mm-hmm.
And some people believe mm-hmm. that, we know that vitamin C is a water-soluble vitamin. It acts in an aqueous area.
Yeah.
And we want it to go to the brain, which is actually mostly fat,
mm-hmm.
or to the nerves. So if we want it to go to the nerves, we'll put it in, use the ascorbyl palmitate version, the so-called fat-soluble.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think that really works. I think that vitamin C is helpful, for neurological conditions, but
sure.
more because it replenishes other antioxidant vitamins. There's sort of a system of
it kind of recycles.
Yeah, like between
vitamin E.
Alpha lipoic acid
mm-hmm.
and vitamin E, the mixed tocopherols. N-acetylcysteine or, glutathione.
Yeah.
All these participate as kind of the cogs in a Swiss watch.
Right.
They all kind of work together.
Yeah. Yeah. And we don't manufacture vitamin D, say, as rabbits
C,
do.
So
we,
you mean C.
yeah. Vitamin C. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
As rabbits do and possibly other creatures. So we need to get it from diet. It's very, very important. And it helps with skin elasticity of veins and arteries, and a very important antioxidant.
Yep.
Okay. So Don.
So you won't see me recommending ascorbyl palmitate.
Yeah.
If you go to,
yeah.
By the way, we've set up we've changed our dispensary and now we're using, a very nice, sort of the Zappos of, high quality supplements. It's, I don't want to call it Zappos because Zappos is sort of like, on quality, it's more like economy. This more is, really physician, quality supplements.
Yeah.
Used by hundreds, perhaps thousands of physicians worldwide now.
Mm-hmm.
And, the platform is really great and user friendly. And you won't see, in my dispensary, I've not included ascorbyl palmitate. So if you want to go buy ascorbyl palmitate, don't come to me because I don't recommend it.
Right, right.
You know, go to Amazon or something, you know.
Yeah.
But you'll only see the things, Layla, that you and I approve of.
Yes,
and we've selected, you know, maybe a couple hundred supplements that we really think are worthy of use.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So we group them according to condition, you know, whether it's a cardiovascular supplement, whether it's for the prostate,
mm-hmm.
Whether it's for adrenal support.
Right. For anxiety.
Inflammation, anxiety, depression, you know, and so on.
Joint health,
yep.
Bone health, all
right.
of that. And you'll find a lot of overlap in the general wellness category.
Right.
And definitely you would find antioxidants there.
Yeah.
As
like
well as some ester C.
Ester C would be under general wellness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don, thank you very, very much for your question. Okay, we've got an email from Lynn. Dear Dr. Hoffman, occasionally I get herpes outbreaks on the small of my back. They've been occurring for probably 30 years, and I take 2 500-milligram L-lysine to help prevent them, but I know...
That's not enough.
It's probably not enough, but
right.
and especially not during an active infection.
Right.
You need 3,000 a day at least.
Yes.
Or something,
yep.
or 6,000 or 7,000. I know from experience that lack of sleep and stress or even excitement
sure.
can cause me to have an outbreak.
Yeah.
But recently these outbreaks are increasing and I don't know why. I'm working out a bit more at the gym and have more general body aches. Do you think this is the cause? And are there foods that I should be avoiding or anything to help minimize?
Yeah, I mean, so I can't give her an answer, but you know, we would look at
Yeah.
Is there some other source of stress on her body
mm-hmm.
beyond the obvious, which is that she's pushing the envelope with exercise and maybe she's subject
right.
to more stress? We know that too much exercise can lower the immune system, just
right.
as not enough exercise.
Mm-hmm.
And we also want to protect her with immune-enhancing supplements, certainly
right.
zinc and vitamin E. And selenium, but also mm-hmm. some more esoteric things like AHCC, active hexose correlated compound,
mm-hmm.
also referred to as Empower.
Mm-hmm.
There's another one called Immunokinoko, I think is the brand name for a little stronger version of that.
Yeah, yeah.
We use both now.
Yeah.
And here's another one, is
mm-hmm.
Use lithium.
Mm.
Lithium orotate. Actually seems to suppress herpes outbreaks. And at a low dose, it's not like a drug, and it may have slight mood-enhancing effects.
There you go. Wow. Wow. Now, Lynn, are there particular foods you should avoid, and the ones that contain the most arginine, chocolate,
Yeah.
Nuts.
Yeah.
Corn.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
Brussels sprouts.
Oh,
sugar suppresses the immune system, leaving
yeah.
you vulnerable
sure. yeah.
to an outbreak, as well as the lack of sleep and the stress and all those other
yeah.
things. So, you know, if you're even eating too many nuts or more than usual, just boost up your lysine as well. And for an active infection, not just for prevention, but an active infection, you need about 6,000, 7,000
I would say.
Milligrams a day,
yeah.
I would say. Yeah. Okay.
I mean,
Lynn,
and by the way, since this is a medical show, I mean, there is medication for this.
Right.
Some people experience a bit of a prodrome when they feel it's coming on. They get a
yeah.
tingling sensation locally.
Mm-hmm.
They can have a prescription of
acyclovir,
or Valtrex.
Yeah,
Valcyclovir or Valtrex
mm-hmm.
on hand as needed. It's not
right.
the worst thing in the world, and
no.
it will prevent
yeah.
an outbreak.
Yeah. The time to take it is when you first feel it coming on.
Yeah.
After an active infection,
right.
maybe it wouldn't work so well. Anyway.
Well, we've had some success in
patients. Yeah.
I mean, it's nothing as disconcerting as having not knowing when you're going to get one of these outbreaks.
That's right.
And it could be oral or it could be
mm-hmm.
genital.
Mm-hmm.
And in the case of women, for some reason, they seem to get recurrences right at the coccyx, you know, the base of the spine.
Huh.
Because the nerve, it's it may be
oh,
that
the
same,
nerve.
The pudendal nerve, the nerve that goes to the genital areas,
uh-huh.
May distribute outward towards the vulvar area, you know,
yeah.
for an external genital lesion, but
yeah.
also to the back.
Hmm.
The virus retreats into the nerve, and then comes out back again out through the nerve.
Hmm.
And so it may come back out near the sacrum.
Yeah.
Or on, you know, on one of the hips.
Another thing occurs to me, Dr. Hoffman, if it's on the small of her back, if there's any kind of rubbing sensation or something she's doing or scratching or a workout
I'm
or some other thing.
I'm not entirely sure that that is a trigger.
That
it
that
might
kind
be.
Of...
It might be, but
that
I'm not
it's
sure.
Irritating. I just hit my yeah. funny bone.
Oh, well, then you might have a reactivation of herpes on your elbow.
Oh, no.
That's unusual.
Oh, no.
I would say not.
Well, Lynn, kudos to you for keeping yourself well.
Do you know why they call it the funny bone, by the way?
No.
Because it's your humerus.
Oh, yeah.
That's where the nerve crosses that.
Too bad it's not funny because it hurts.
Humerus, spelled H-U-M-E-R-U-S.
Right.
See, I'm just a repository of medical trivia here.
Ask the doctor.
Yes.
Okay. Lynn, thank you for your question. All right. We have an email from Lorraine. Dear Dr. Hoffman and Layla, so enjoy and learn from all your podcasts and appreciate everything you share. On your most recent one,
that is most gratifying. I mean, it's really nice to get comments like that.
Yeah.
People are actually out there and they benefit
Thank
from
you, Lorraine.
That's good to know.
On one of your recent podcasts, you mentioned supplements that might help prevent clotting, which was an issue my husband had. Our functional doctor then suggested a product called Baluke.
Okay.
Baluoke.
Right.
B-O-L-U-O-K-E.
Yes.
Okay. Feeling that it might be more effective than natto, natokinase.
Right, right, right.
Do you have an opinion on this product?
Yeah, you know, I use natto. I don't use much Baluoke, but it is, you know what it's actually from? It's based on a principle that leeches use. There's a substance in leeches that prevents the blood from clotting so they can suck all your blood.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure if it's made from leeches or earthworms. I think it's made from earthworms.
It's made from earthworms.
Not too appetizing, but, you know, there's something in them.
It's made from bait.
It's made from bait. You know, it's plenty of earthworms, so I guess it's a...
It's not just for fishing anymore.
Right, right. It's like, but don't, you know, try this at home. You know, get the Baluoke. And it may be more effective if one is still getting blood clots after natokinase is not effective. However, I got to say that people who get dangerous blood clots probably should depend on a medication.
Absolutely.
Because this is, I mean, high stakes here. If the supplements are not satisfactory, you could have a blood clot migrate from your leg. Most commonly we see what are called DVTs, deep vein thromboses, which are manifest by, you know, sore calves, extreme pain on pressure. Mm-hmm. And then that blood clot travels upwards towards your heart. But then it gets shot into your lungs.
Yeah.
And when you get it shot into your lungs, you can die of a pulmonary embolus.
Wow.
So those are people who probably should be on a prescription blood thinner.
Sure. The Baluke is actually called lumbrokinase. You've probably seen it marketed as lumbrokinase
at
the health food store. And, so it's earthworm fibrinolytic enzymes, really.
Right.
Some claim that the fibrinolytic strength of Baluke is unmatched by any other enzyme on the market.
It kind of depends on the
potency of what you're taking.
That may be.
But natto is still good.
Natto is good. And in fact, there was a study in the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition last month, I think, on not natto, the supplement natto, but on natto consumption.
Uh-huh.
And they found that Japanese who consumed natto had less cardiovascular events.
Wow.
Now, this is something we've been known for a long time. I remember being interviewed in the 1980s by a Japanese film crew who came over here, and they wanted to hear an American doctor endorse nattokinase. Or the food natto.
Would you recommend it in lieu of aspirin to somebody?
I think, you know, aspirin's pretty benign.
Yeah.
And if you can't tolerate it, then maybe, but you know, this blood clot thing of like people say, well, I'd like a natural blood thinner. I think if there's an indication you really need your blood thinned, like if you have atrial fibrillation, you probably should take Coumadin or Pradaxa or, you know, something that is reliably strong. I gotta say, I just worry about people who are, you know, saying, oh, I'm not gonna take this medication, I'll self-medicate. You know, stroke is a terrible thing.
It is a terrible thing. Being debilitated is a terrible thing. Absolutely. Lorraine, thank you for your question. And speaking of AFib, that's a question we have coming up in part two.
Good. Okay. Well, let's pause because we divide these podcasts into two parts. When we return, more of our weekly Q&A with Layla. Of course, featuring Layla. Layla Mutin, our Hoffman Center nutritionist, do it every week. Thanks for joining us. Stay tuned for part two. This is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.